Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jay Papasan is back, ladies and gentlemen. He's been with us before. He's the co-author of The One. The One Thing, I should say. The One Thing, The Surprising Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results. He's Vice President of Publishing, Keller Williams Realty International. He's the President of Relic Publishing. And he's back to talk to us about some more ways that you and I can put our best foot forward in the marketplace the right way. Jay Papasan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's good to have you back. Jay, when we were here last time, you helped us understand how to identify the one thing and how to identify it, how to work with it, how to make ourselves successful by using that approach. Talk to us about some of the things you've been doing to help the younger generation set goals, accomplish their goals, understand the virtue of goal setting and how to work through that. What are you doing?
We work with a lot of young people, both in our organization and on my wife and my real estate team. And I think a lot of people set aspirational goals. They get this idea of thinking big. And the younger generation, they don't see any limitations for their career. And I love that. One of the challenges that we've had in working with them and mentoring and coaching with them is helping them back up from a big goal to a concrete step today. And we wrote about it in the book.
Are you seeing them set goals that are too big to bite off all at once? Is that a trend?
No, I love that they set ambitious goals. Yeah. I think some of the older people I work with are quote realistic, and I'd rather see people stretch a little bit,
right,
be a little uncomfortable with the goal. And so I'm all for thinking big.
Michelangelo said the only thing worse than setting a goal and not reaching it is setting it too low and reaching it.
Yeah. Now what? Since then, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I think one of the reasons we set goals is so that we can be appropriate right now.
Right.
And connecting those dots can be really difficult. One of the things, and I'm sure you've heard this because I'm sure you've talked to a lot of financial people, we have this problem when a goal is put farther in the future. We devalue it. And one of the ways that psychologists know this is, if I were to ask you if I could give you $100 today or $2 tomorrow, 99 out of 100 people will take the $2,
right,
$200. But if I flip it and say it's $100 today or $200 next year, almost everybody takes the $100.
Right.
It's called hyperbolic discounting, and it's ridiculous because every time you should take $200. But the farther away a goal gets, and that's where big goals are, right? They're at the end of the year or
right,
they're next year. You just don't have that pull to act appropriately in the moment.
So I
do a lot of coaching on that.
So you're saying it's okay to set a goal a year from now, but break it down so that part of that goal is in the now?
That's right. We try to work backwards. If you can envision where you want to be, let's say I want to make $100,000 selling real estate. My goal with them is to say, all right, so what does that mean for you this week? And then work backwards. So how many homes do you have to sell?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so if you have to sell that many homes on a yearly basis, how many do you have to sell this month? And to sell that many houses this month, how many clients do you have to meet this week?
It's the close ratio equation.
Yes. Working backwards, just some sort of logical series of events. But breaking down a big goal has been a real struggle. I just get this puzzled look.
Are you getting more puzzle looks now than you would have, say, 20 years ago?
Well, you know, that's a trick question because I was the young kid 20 years ago.
you were the pain in the backside kid 20 years ago, weren't you?
Yeah, that's me. That was me. That was my first job as an editorial assistant.
You were the whippersnapper 20 years ago, huh? obnoxious little kid.
what I know is my boss is at the tail end of the baby boomers, and yep. pretty much everybody acknowledges that's probably the most ambitious generation that's ever lived. They came out of this idealistic period, a lot of them at the end, and they all just got after it in huge ways. And right. I see a little bit of a tide shift in this young generation, because those are their parents and grandparents.
Right.
And I think that they're very committed to the idea, not of a business or even money, but to the idea of a career. You know, they'll say, hey, I'm a designer, or, you know, I'm a tattoo artist. Whatever it is that they identify as, they'll be incredibly committed to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like they're working as much for the money, and they're certainly not working for a company. They're mm-hmm. thinking about, how do I become the best tattoo artist I can be? And they're pretty committed to that, and that's kind of cool, too.
So this is really, and what's your advice to people who are hiring this generation right now for a lot of different jobs? It could be to answer the phone. It could be to take a position in sales. It could be to manage. What's your advice to employing these people well?
Help them do the
younger generation.
My short answer would be help them do the math.
Help
you can sit down with them. You agree on, here are the goals for this position. Here are your goals for your career. You know, I check in every week with my team. We meet one-on-one for 30 minutes, and we just check in on their goals. So what are you going to do this week to achieve that? And I'm just always testing to make sure that they thought it through. So you're doing this week, and how is that connected to your monthly goal, and how is that connected to your annual goal?
Do you have to check with them every week?
Yes.
I'm not out of town.
Every Monday we meet and we revisit our goals.
You can't go a month without checking in with them?
We could. It's not my preference.
It's just that you don't.
At work, I want to go every other week.
Are you doing weekly because that's what you want, or are you doing weekly because that's what they need?
The latter, need.
Why is that?
Now, a high achiever, there's two things. Accountability matters. If someone knows that you're watching, I mean, whether you look at the Hawthorne effect or other studies, one of the ones I like, people who had weekly check-in just sent their progress to another person were 76.7% more likely to achieve their goals.
Because they knew that there was an expectation of some kind of performance.
Right. So I show up and I don't have a whip. And I just say, how'd you do last week? How do you feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
Based on that, what are you going to do this week?
Mm-hmm.
And they just know that I'm there to ask those questions, and I want to be there as a consultant.
Right.
Let me help you think this through, and not a manager. Did you do it? If it was a did you do it kind of a punishment type scenario, it wouldn't work.
Right. Hold on to that thought. Jay Papasan is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the co-author of The One Thing, along with a guy called Gary Keller Keller Williams, right? Keller
Realty.
Williams Realty is the name of the company. That Keller. 20 after. Right back with Jay. I'm Jim. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.